and we were going home, and I smelled a horrible smell, and I said, "What's that? It's horrible smell." I was holding my nose and everything, and Daddy said, "It's McDonald's."
Welcome to Radio Free School.
There's especially a big amount of McDonald's of litter around McDonald's because people buy a lot of McDonald's food. It's their favorite restaurant, it seems. And they just don't throw it in the McDonald's garbage bins. They throw it all over the street.
Does McDonald's have plates for people that want to eat inside?
I haven't seen a single one.
So it's all takeout?
Yeah. Well, I've never really liked any litter because litter isn't good. It's bad for the environment. It pollutes. Styrofoam litter, it doesn't decompose. It rots and makes a big mess. Makes it look all ugly around, but it's bad for the environment. The litter. Right next to McDonald's. We're going in there to videotape and find out what's so bad about McDonald's.
What are you looking at? Where are you?
Well, I'm looking at a sort of bag that you put McDonald's food in. Down on the side of the road.
Okay.
Just the garbage floating around, I guess. And there's some garbage right there for all the McDonald's.
We just got collected
along here and on my front yard, all the way along, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it used to be bad when you used the styrofoam, eh?
Yeah.
They finally cleaned that act up, but down in the marshes and all that, you always find their garbage.
Yeah.
But they got a lot of garbage containers, so it's just the people in general, litter bugs, basically, and wind blowing stuff every now and again. But a lot of people will just drop their crap right in front of my house or whatever.
A bunch of people are ordering food from this sort of speaker kind of fast food thing. They're driving their cars.
I can help you.
Yes, we'd like to have two caramel sundaes and one of them has no nuts.
That's everything today?
Yes, thank you.
340, please go ahead.
Thanks.
I will be right with you.
Okay.
Hi, thank you for waiting. How can I help you?
Yeah, hi. Could I get two number eights, one with a Coke and one with a root beer, please?
That's everything today?
Yep.
$11.94, please go ahead.
Anything in the world, McDonald's.
What do you see back here?
A bunch of people making burgers and yucky fries, hurry and everything. Just like it said in the movie. The sooner we get out, the better.
Using everything. Okay, Matthew is going first.
Dad, can I have a
I'm going
cheeseburger?
To
just ketchup.
Cheeseburger, ketchup only?
Happy meal?
Happy meal, yeah. And I'm going to have the bacon double cheeseburger meal.
Okay.
Come on, come on. He's my nephew. So he gave me up to bug him.
Sprite.
Sprite.
Fry boy.
Okay. And
I'll have a Sprite as well, please.
Sprite.
Two Sprites.
That's it, thank you.
We're here to go.
To go.
$9.98, please.
Thanks. Thank you.
Can I have a change? You are listening to Radio Free School.
I came here via Chicago. We protested at McDonald's headquarters, clambered all over their signs at the headquarters in Oakbrook. Basically, I was involved with London Greenpeace, which is an anarchist collective. It's the first Greenpeace group that was started in Europe 30 years ago, and it's never been part of Greenpeace International, the much more well-known organisation. But probably the most well-known thing about London Greenpeace is that the group started a campaign in the mid-1980s focusing on what the group considered were the most powerful organisations on this planet, most powerful and most exploitative and oppressive organisations, which were multinational corporations. The London Greenpeace campaign really just involved giving out leaflets outside McDonald's stores, but the reaction of the public was absolutely phenomenal. People were almost dying for, not dying, but they were desperate for that kind of information to counter the propaganda and the marketing and advertising of organizations and companies like McDonald's. So basically the idea was to use McDonald's as a symbol of a wider system. What the system is doing, what the capitalist system is doing to our planet and to our lives, and to focus on issues that are very important in people's everyday lives. So it's not an abstract academic debate, it's or something that's too difficult to kind of grasp in one go. Yeah, we want to pull down the capitalist system and replace it with a free society. That's quite a big step, but by looking at, say, McDonald's and the fast food industry, what's really behind that? What kind of food are they promoting? How is it produced? How are workers in that kind of industry treated and exploited? What's the effect on the environment of mass production of packaging and so on and so forth? And this campaign was very, very popular with the public passing by their stores and going into their stores, in fact. But it wasn't very popular with McDonald's, and so they started taking legal action to suppress criticisms in the UK. And what London Greenpeace had done was brought together all the different strands of criticisms being made of companies like McDonald's, by nutritionists, by the labour movement, by animal liberationists, and so on. And it created a very powerful message that all these single issue campaigns and all these separate, what are often seen as separate concerns, are actually all linked together. The fundamental problem is that some people or there are institutions that exist for power and profits, and they are causing all these problems, the cruelty that animals suffer that are being raised and slaughtered for the food industry, damage to the environment, exploitation of workers, and so on. So all these issues are linked, and through the campaign against McDonald's, there was a way of being able to bring them together as an educational device for spreading ideas and discussion. But McDonald's was extremely unhappy about it, and they started to sue dozens of organisations in the UK, including BBC, the national papers, trade unions, vegetarian groups, college groups, and they were creating a climate of fear and censorship over the media and over the population as a whole. But they didn't sue London Greenpeace until they'd kind of shut everybody else up, because they probably thought, well, there's always a possibility they're going to actually fight back. And basically that's what happened. They sued us after they'd silenced everybody else in Britain. And we were faced with this huge corporation trying to silence what is in effect was just me and Helen from London Greenpeace, Helen Steele, my co-defendant. And we decided that we had to fight the case, even though there was no legal assistance or legal aid, and that the laws were completely stacked in favour of rich and powerful claimants. The laws in the UK, I think they're very similar in this country too. That was in 1990, when at that time there were thousands of leaflets being distributed against the company. I'm pleased to say, as a result of that case and McDonald's attempts to try and silence people, those leaflets are now available in millions all over the world, in dozens of languages, and so on and so forth. So what they did was they really provoked a massive fight back by grassroots campaigners who refused to be intimidated and were outraged that someone should try and silence them. Okay, so, I mean, people kind of feel that the most significant thing about the lawsuits was the actual trial, which was significant. But for us, as anarchists, as campaigners, we didn't want to lose sight of the reason that we were fighting the case. It wasn't because we had any illusions in that we could get a fair trial, or that the word of a judge really means anything. But that it was a platform to give encouragement and stimulus to grassroots campaigners all over the world to step up the struggle, not just against McDonald's, but against anybody that would try and shut us up. McDonald's, at the beginning of the trial, forecast it would last 3 to 4 weeks, and in reality, the tables were turned, they were put on trial, and the case became the longest case in English legal history, 314 days in court. And for the first time, probably the only time so far, not just a multinational, but a whole industry, in fact, a whole mentality, was on trial in a public place, a courtroom. McWorld was on trial. This restaurant's a little plastic penguins, pinch in a cake, and the kids gung ho. To do their job, they wear their dreams on their sleeve, and they smile while they jog. He wears a little bank around his neck.
It's a leaking roof, it's a hole in the dam.
Listening to Radio Free School on CFMU.
Too often we give these powerful institutions more credibility than they're worth. We think that they're important, they're invincible, that they're unchallengeable, but in fact they are very weak organisations. Their power is based on a lie that they're providing some kind of public service. That it's based on exploitation, that if workers didn't do the work for them or they organised themselves and were able to challenge the people that employ them, that if people didn't accept what was going on in our name throughout the world and had confidence, if we had confidence in ourselves, we could actually overthrow and get rid of oppressive institutions and create something much better. And I think that we're much nearer to doing that than we know. To cut a long story short, as far as we were concerned, the critics of multinational corporations were completely vindicated by the evidence that came out of that trial. But of course the judge, whose job it is to defend companies like McDonald's, and having got rid of the jury, it was entirely one person's decision about the result of the case. He strained every muscle to try and find against us, but some of the issues were so, the testimony was so overwhelming, he had to find in our favour, and he made damning verdicts against McDonald's core business practices. For example, that they exploit children with their marketing strategy, that they're culpably responsible for cruelty to animals reared and slaughtered for their products, that they deceive customers by promoting their food as nutritious. That's pretty damning for a food service organisation. That they pay low wages, so low as to depress wages in the catering industry, which is already probably the lowest paid industry in modern society, or one of the lowest paid industries. And that if you eat enough of their food, you face the risk, increased risk of heart disease as a result because of their high fat and salt content of their food products. So these are pretty devastating. And for us, it was a real triumph to achieve that much from a judge in the highest court in the land in the UK, after the longest trial in English history. But such is the beauty of the legal system. No sanctions were ordered against McDonald's. And because we lost on some issues, we were ordered to pay £60,000 damages, and McDonald's could have claimed their £10 million costs from me and Helen. I've got £70 in the bank, so they wouldn't get very far, I can tell you. And in fact, we refused to pay a penny. There was a big scandal about the hypocrisy of the result of the verdict. We went to appeal, and we're currently taking the British government to the European Court of Human Rights over the unfair and oppressive libel laws in the UK. So that kind of sums up the case. If we're going to change the world, it's not as a result of a growing number of activists. It's as a result of ordinary people in their millions and millions beginning to come together and take action in their own lives, in their workplaces, in their streets, and in their communities to take back the power that's been denied them by the current institutions that dominate our world.
Have a good day.
Is there a manager that we could speak to? The girl with the radio show from the McMaster?
Yep.
Yeah? Just a couple of questions. Hi, this is my daughter, and we do a radio show at McMaster, Radio Free School.
Yeah.
We're doing a show on restaurants.
Okay. Sort of, we can't have any cameras in here.
Okay, we're just getting the audio. Okay. No, we're not filming, the lens cap is on, so we're just going to interview, receive your voice, whether it's radio, right?
Okay. I don't know if we can do that, because I tried doing it for a school project last year, and they wouldn't even let me do it.
Let you, record an interview and hearing me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really? Okay, I won't say your name.
No, I can't. Sorry.
Okay. So you can't do an interview in here. How would we get an interview?
You can't. Go outside.
You can't interview
anybody. Well, I have my workers working right now. They're getting paid, so they can't really leave.
Oh, but you or a manager or somebody?
I'm working as well.
Yeah. So how could you then arrange to have an interview done? Like, is it a different time? Or?
I don't know. We can take down your name and ask my store manager. It would have to be arranged.
Okay.
So it would have to be on someone's own time, though.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So I don't know if anyone would want to.
Could you give me your store manager's name?
Sure.
I'm going to go to.
He'll be in on Monday. I'll get you his voice.
Great, thanks.
Monday, okay, good. Then that's good, okay? Monday's good. Then we won't before the radio show. Let's go now.
Hi there.
Thank you. Hello. My name is Meir, and we are at the Westdale Delicatessen. It's at 893 King Street West, King and Longwood. And we've been here for about 18 years. We basically carry kosher food, and we cater mostly to the Jewish community here, as well as to especially the vegetarian customers, because we have lots of vegetarian dishes. We cook the Middle Eastern food, Israeli style. And we do falafel and hummus and baba ganoush and a few dishes of eggplant. We are very known with our soups, homemade hearty soups, I would say. Cabbage borscht and vegetable and green pea and tomato and rice and bean and barley, minestrone, and that line. All our soups are vegetarian, strictly vegetarian. But we sell as well kosher groceries, you know, to the Jewish community and to ever who, you know, you'll be surprised how many non-Jewish customers that we have, that they think the kosher food is really, it means sometimes better quality, you know, food. And in certain cases, you know, I agree with that. And we have as well, like a long range of domestic and imported cheeses. We have smoked fish, also wide range of smoked fish. We have bread delivered to us from Toronto on a daily basis. European style bread, I would say, no rye bread with caraway, dark rye, egg bread with raisins. We have list of about like over 100, 150 kinds of breads and buns that could be ordered, you know. And it's like European style bakery. We ordered from them. That's basically in one foot, as we say, you know, description of the place. The staff is me and my wife, and in high season and busy season, we hire help with us when we are really busy, like the Passover season or the Jewish New Year season, the high holidays, what we call. But basically, my wife and I, you know, small operation. We do things that we do here, we do it from scratch, really homemade. We put with it one spice that you can't find it in many places, and this is TLC, Tender Love and Care. And our customers, basically really steady clientele, they are coming, keep coming, especially for the restaurant section, from all the backgrounds, I would say. Apparently, if they keep coming back, they like the food. Yeah. And what I can say, oh yeah, our food served most of it on regular plates and cutlery and that, except the meat product, but this is from kosher reasons to, you know, apply with the kosher rules, because we don't cook any meat here at all whatsoever. And just the meat sandwiches served either to take out or if somebody wants to eat it here, we serve it on paper plates. That's basically the only thing, but the rest of the stuff served in a regular, you know, cutlery. We don't use plastic, no. I'm not familiar with any other Meyer's deli. This is the only deli that I have. But I guess there is other delis in Hamilton as well. There is certain things really we don't do from health reasons, like French fries. We think French fries is really not healthy. We don't do French fries here at all. You see, even though I know it's a big hit and people ask us, it's fried. The only thing which we have fried here, this is the falafel, but it's really vegetarian and it's... it doesn't absorb oil, you know, as you know, falafel made from chickpeas and vegetables and spices, and it doesn't really absorb much oil in it, but most of the other stuff is really cooked or baked. So we tried to concentrate on the healthy side of it, really. With no, it's really very important to emphasize that it's really made without preservatives and additives. This is why we always recommend people that they want to buy, let us say, soups to take away for a week or more, we recommend to freeze it, because it wouldn't last without preservative, you know, for a long time, 2, 3, 4 days, especially the hummus and that. So we recommend to freeze it, and then you maintain freshness and you can go back. I think this is better alternative, you know, for using preservative to preserve food, you know. We think so.
Food's good. The people are nice. It's not smelly like McDonald's. Mm-hmm. And it's not all. Not even if it's takeout food, except one thing. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember what it's called, but it's meat. Mm-hmm. It's the only thing that's takeout that goes on a takeout thing. Plate, but the rest is just like. Inside the restaurant. Mm-hmm. That's fun. A very good thing. So, I'll find some food here. I like to sing it. The end.
I'm gonna wrap myself in paper. I'm gonna daub myself with glue. Stick some stamps on the top of my head. I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L8S1CO.